Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
All right, so today I want to just kind of follow up with what we were sharing yesterday from my good buddy Danny Stain and the amazing encounter he had with Jesus concerning the Key of David. And as we, as I read to you yesterday, when he recounted that incident, that encounter that he had with the Lord, it really was very profound how the Lord made it clear to him that the Key of David is really the heart that David had. You know, God said he's a man after my own heart, and his passionate pursuit of the presence of God really is what the Key of David is all about, and how that key is basically God's permission for us to break protocol, any man-made protocol or tradition or ritual that actually is in the way, keeping us from having the kind of intimate personal encounters with the Lord that he wants for us, right? That's a huge part of what Danny was given in that encounter. And so today, as I say, I want to just kind of follow up with some additional thoughts about it, because I believe that understanding this revelation is actually the key to our revival. Now, I know that for many of you who are watching this with me, you know, you've been in and among the church environment for years, and so you know that for a long time, there's been this, you know, cry, maybe sporadically, or maybe more now than ever, you know, for revival and all of that. And, you know, my theology on revival has changed over the years to where I no longer see revival as some sovereign move of God, you know, that he all of a sudden decides, well, I guess you're worthy of revival now because you've beat yourselves up enough, you've prayed enough, you've fasted enough, and now I guess I can send revival. Revival is the normal state of life for Christians. Anything less than that is an abnormal condition. And so what revival is, you know, in terms of our constant awareness of his presence and our flowing with the Holy Spirit, you know, in just being that representative of the kingdom and of the heart of the Father, that's the norm. And so when we talk about, at least when I talk about revival now, it's simply an awakening to the reality of our true nature, our true status as sons and daughters of God, and just beginning to live out of that reality. So the Key of David, the Tabernacle of David, and all these things that we talk about, well, those truths, they are a way for us to come into that awakening if we'll choose that, right? You know, Jesus talked about keys. He said to the disciples when Peter made his great confession of Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, I'm giving you the keys to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, right? So that you've got authority now to say what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. That's in essence what Jesus gave to them and to us as well. And as Danny learned in his encounter, Jesus has and is the key. When you talk about the Key of David or any other key, well, it's Jesus. You know, he's that key. He has it and he is it. That's so important. We know that Jesus is the only way that we actually can have, you know, a a relationship with the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me, through what Jesus accomplished when he was crucified, shed his blood, and rose again from the dead. He opened the door for all of humanity. God reconciled all of humanity to himself through Jesus. And so, yeah, the way is clear. Jesus is that key. So we have the freedom, if we understand this, to, as the writer of Hebrews says, come boldly before the throne of grace, right? We can draw near with sincere hearts, as it says in Hebrews 10, with full assurance of faith, because Jesus opened that door, right? We are given access into the throne room, into the very presence of the Father 24/7. That's a huge, huge key that we all have, right? So David, in his old covenant relationship with the Lord, because he was so passionate about the presence of God, and I'm just kind of, you know, reviewing again a little bit of what we talked about yesterday, God allowed him to do something that was completely illegal under the old covenant. He allowed David to put the Ark of the Covenant in an open tent where anybody could come in and experience the presence of God. And that act was prophetic because it portended, it predicted an era in which everybody has the same access into the presence of God, you know, that Tabernacle of David afforded for the Israelites. Well, now it's worldwide. Anybody can put their faith in God through Christ and have an encounter with God himself, right? That's the key. That's the thing. Now, we, as the carriers of that key, or as being the key, because we talked about that yesterday as well, we are that key. In other words, we can have that encounter and we can be an encounter for other people because we carry the presence of God, right? So we have to recognize that that's our goal. That's our role, right? Our responsibility is to be so enmeshed and surrounded and, you know, filled with the presence of God for ourselves that when others encounter us, they also encounter him, right? That's what we're after. You know, people like me, okay? I mean, in general, people like me. You know, I don't generally have problems with people reacting badly or negatively to me because I really do try to walk, you know, in love. But even with that, I don't want them encountering me, okay? I want them encountering him because he's the one that matters. So this is what we get to do. Oh my gosh. I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything more amazing than to be that kind of an influence in people's lives where just me being with somebody, you know, gives them an opportunity to experience God. I mean, just, it's phenomenal, right? So, we've got to recognize, and this is going to go back to something I mentioned the other day. If you remember, I talked to you about the incident where Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John and had this encounter with Moses and Elijah, and they all were glowing. Jesus was glowing, you know, in the presence of God. And Peter blurts out, "Oh, we're going to build you a booth, and Moses a booth, and Elijah a booth." We've got to stay in step with the now word of the Lord, because the booths that Peter was wanting to build, that represents trying to hold on to something either that God did in the past or something that we believe is going to happen in the future. And we're just so focused on that, that we're not really engaged with the present, or to hear something in the present and make that an idol instead of realizing that we walk with the Lord every day, and anything that he might have told us yesterday could be amended today, right? So this idea of us staying fresh and current with the Lord allows him to lead us into the things that we never thought about. How about that? In all of my understanding, all of the studying and everything that I've done in the Word of God, what do I know, right? I mean, come on. He's the one that has it all, and we can't afford to think that we understand something. You know, whatever we think we know, we've got to also know this. We could be wrong, or we could be missing something. So I'm going to stay humble, and I'm going to stay open. Lord, show me, guide me. What is it that you want me to do? So the tabernacle of David, where everybody could just come in and experience the presence of God. Well, that's what the Lord is restoring, right? We have that amazing scripture, the prophecy that was spoken of in the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 15. The original prophecy comes from Amos 9, verses 11 and 12, where the Lord says, "In that day, I will raise up the fallen tabernacle of David and wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." What is he talking about? Well, God is saying, I am going to bring back what David did, only it's going to be even greater. Back in the day, as I mentioned, it was only for Israel. But God says, no, this encountering of my presence is now going to be worldwide. The remnant of Edom, those that had stepped away from the reality of God, those of other nations who never knew him, will call upon his name. Why? Because they're going to encounter him through us. It's just amazing. So in Acts 15, right, that prophecy is brought back into the church. And it says here that after these things, I will return, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. He basically repeats that prophecy and says that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. Everybody that doesn't know the Lord, right? That's what the Lord is all about right now. And so the new wineskin that we're speaking of, that, you know, I'm sharing what I've learned about it with you now over these past days, that's where a lot of this happens, okay? Obviously, you know, you and I being out in the world, just doing our thing, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we get to be that encounter. But it's when we gather together and open the doors and say, hey, you want to experience God? This is what we do here when we get together, right? And I mean, it's an amazing thing. So, you know, Jesus as the head of the church, as the head of his own body, he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build my ecclesia, my church. That's his responsibility. Ours is simply to hear and obey whatever he's showing us that he wants us to do. That's our part. It's a partnership, right? He's the architect. He's the supplier of all of the construction materials, which happen to be you and I, by the way. And he's the general contractor. He's the one that's going to say, here's how I want to build this particular expression or manifestation of my body, of my tabernacle, my tent, right? So as it was in David's tabernacle, so it is for us. There is no veil, right? In that Old Testament tabernacle, there was a veil behind which the Holy of Holies existed and where the ark was placed. And in that area, if you tried to go in, you die. You just die, right? But not in David's tabernacle. It was wide open. There was no veil. Well, there's no veil anymore here either. Right? You know the story that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. That Holy of Holies was laid bare, wide open, because there was now no separation between the human race and the presence of God. This is what we need to understand, right? So we're entering confidently into the place of God's presence, into that Holy of Holies. We're experiencing His presence, and we're inviting other people, even if they're not saved. You understand that, right? They don't have to be saved to encounter God. That's the thing we love so much about being out on the streets and ministering to people there who've never encountered His power or His love, because He's right there to do that. There's no separation anymore. There's no veil. They can encounter God. And in the encounter, I mean, how can you deny the reality of God when you have just been touched by Him, when you've just been healed or set free by Him, right? I mean, it's powerful. So what we are, right, in this new covenant, and we talked about this as well, I'm just kind of going back and maybe tying together a whole bunch of different pieces here. We are the new covenant priesthood that gives people that access to God, gives them that encounter with Him. Just as in the old covenant, they had the priests and the Levites, their job was to do the things of the temple. Well, we have a similar sort of role where we get to represent God to people and give them that encounter with Him, right? So we, in our life, as we, you know, live a life of praise and thankfulness and worship to God, just in how we live, right? It releases more of His presence. I love the scripture. I think it's in Psalm 22, where it talks about how God inhabits the praises of His people. So a lifestyle that is constantly so grateful and thankful and worshipful toward the Lord, it just increases the level of His presence, you know, around us, giving people even more of an opportunity to experience something real. So when we get together in the new wineskin, well, that's what we do, right? We worship, we praise, we give glory to God, we testify of His goodness, we share the amazing things that we've learned that He's showing us, right? And that atmosphere, it's really the atmosphere of heaven that's being established in that place where we are gathering for Him to basically come. And I love, you know, the reference that Danny used about the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Well, yes, now He does. We become the place where the head is able to fully rest and find His proper rightful place as the head of His body, of His church. And that's what we're doing, right? So when Jesus described this, right? Again, I'm just covering familiar ground because I'm trying to tie all this together. He said, two or three. I don't need a whole big bunch of people. Just two or three. If you come together in My name, I promise I will show up. That just right there ought to tell us His priority for us to do this, to actually be the new wineskin that He designed us to be, right? To learn what's that like, to not go through a whole bunch of rituals and forms and liturgy and every, look, if you enjoy that, feel free. Okay. I'm not telling you what you should or shouldn't do. What I am saying is what Jesus described as what He wants, right? Now we got a choice. What am I going to do with that, right? So the Lord, in desiring to create this tabernacle for Him to inhabit, for Him, right, to do what He wants, the Bible talks about how we are the living stones that He uses to put together so that there becomes a spiritual container in the moment. When we're gathered together, we actually become that spiritual container for the very presence of God. And again, it's because we have been made into those living stones in which we're able to experience the presence the way he wants to be experienced. And see, that's the key. You know, I shared with you yesterday, you know, that when I was seeking him about how he wanted us to you know, create this gathering for the region, he was very clear. He said, I want to be the main event, and he deserves that. And so that's what we do. I'm not suggesting that we can't come with some preconceived idea that maybe we feel he's given us. You know, oh, I think that the Lord may want me to share on this particular topic because he's really been talking to me about that. That's fine. I think that's part of preparing for a gathering. Lord, is there anything that you would like me to bring? But even in that, what he's saying and what he's doing in the moment will always take precedence, take priority over anything that I might have expected or thought should be done. See, this is when you read in 1 Corinthians 14:26, which again, if you don't know that verse, if you don't know that passage, you really need to dig into it because it gives us, in my opinion, the clearest understanding of what the new wineskin should look like when we get together. Verse 26, as you know, it says, what's the outcome, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now think about that. That's a command, folks. Let all things be done for building, strengthening, and encouraging the body of Christ. Let all things be done. Now, does that mean that we don't exercise any discernment? No, of course not. You know, someone could come and they're in a weird place, right? And try to share something that's not appropriate. Okay, well, that can happen, but it doesn't ruin anything. It just simply means that you've got some work to do with that particular person. Okay, but it doesn't negate the command to let all things be done. That's the word of the Lord. Okay, when we gather together, everybody gets to play. All right, there are no, you know, not any kind of a hierarchy here where only certain few have the freedom to say whatever they want. But the rest of you, well, you better check in with me because, you know, I'm the prophecy cop or revelation cop. And if I don't like what you're sharing, I'm not going to let you speak. No, that is not allowed. At least not according to this scripture. Let all things be done for edification. He goes on to say, later in the chapter, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that scripture has been thoroughly, thoroughly misapplied and twisted to mean, well, I'm the leader and I'm the one that decides what's decent and in order. No, you don't. When Paul talks about people sharing, he says, share maybe two or three and then let the rest pass judgment. That doesn't mean criticize or, you know, say negative things, but to hear what's been spoken and discern, Lord, what are you really saying? What is it that you want us to do? How do you want us to respond? Because everything that he says deserves and demands a response. So the decently and in order part just simply means, Holy Spirit, you lead us so that we don't get off into the weeds, so that we don't get overwhelmed with what's happening, but rather can take the time to truly understand what's being shared, what you are saying, and how you want us to respond, because that's our job. Our job is to respond to what he's saying and to do what he's calling us to do. So these concepts that I'm sharing with you are very real. They're very practical, but they will give you a clear understanding of what it looks like for us as the new wineskin to begin to gather together, because we've got the key. We are the key of David. We have full and free access into the presence of God, both individually and corporately. And my prayer is that all of us would become so passionate about that, because it's in that passion that you are awakened to the greater realms of your true nature, your true identity, your true status as a son or daughter of God. That's revival right there. Whew, come on.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.